lost my way, still you're right there beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. My word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. My word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will not forget the love for me, and yet my heart forever is wandering. Jesus, be my guide and hold me to your side. I will love you to the end. My word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. My word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Thank you, Deb. Wonderful. I wanted that song sung today because we're going to talk about false teachers. And one way to combat the existence of, to detect and to counteract and to avoid and to, when necessary, foil a false teacher is by the lamp of God's word. His word is truth. It's what D.L. Moody called the straight stick of truth. And usually false teachers will get off the stick, and they have their own agendas. So that's why I wanted that sung. So thank you very much. It was beautiful. There's a show on television. I only watched it. I think I watched it twice now. It's called Cold Cases. These are cases that have not been solved, crimes. And there's two ladies who are partners, and they investigate these cold cases, and they interview the individuals who, the suspects and et cetera, and try to find corroborating testimonies. And I happened to see it yesterday or the day before, and there was this gentleman, I think his name was Sergio, if I recall, and he was acting rather erratically, and they brought two of his best friends in, and he would call them up and want to meet with them, and as soon as he got with them, he said, "Do you have any crack cocaine?" He's a crack addict. He said, "No." "Do you have any money?" And they would, "Yeah, I got a little money," and he would just grab it and go. And in the course of time, I think in the same 1 week period of time, he also killed his grandmother for the same reason, wanting resources. Maybe she didn't comply, I have no idea. But crack cocaine, the high from crack cocaine only lasts for about 5 to 10 minutes. And it creates a desire that can never be filled. So it turns most people who are addicted to violence to get the resources to purchase it, or et cetera. They have an insatiable desire for this drug. We're basing today's sermon on a verse that uses that word. Insatiable desire is a desire that can't be fulfilled. In 2 Peter 2:14, they have eyes, these false teachers, by the way, full of adultery, insatiable for sin. Like the crack cocaine addict, they have to sin. They want to sin. And my proposition to you today is, you can tell a false teacher by what he wants and what he doesn't want. What does the false teacher want to inspire in you, and what do they not want? Some of them are very coy. Let's begin at verse 1 in 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you." And what's being referred to here is an attack from the outside. Certainly, Satan has his emissaries on the outside, but this is an attack, from within. These are false teachers that have secretly come into the fellowship. They secretly bring in destructive heresies. Destructive heresies. You know, and that reminds me of where we began a while back in 1 Peter chapter 1. It ends, it's talking about you've been saved by this incorruptible seed, imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. Verse 24, "For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory," 1 Peter 1, 24, "and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower fails." So he's got in his mind this meadow, a grassy area that has flowers on it. And when the sun is too high or the wind drives too hard, eventually the grass withers and the flower, which is the glory of the grass, fails. It falls eventually. And we are, as one commentator said, just another form of grass. We appear now in our lifetime as a vapor and we vanish away. Our life is just but a vapor that appears now for a short time, then vanishes away. And just as a sidebar, we live in a time where perhaps our economy is going to explode. It looks like several decisions have been made that make it almost impossible that it won't. And I want to comfort you with something, and that is, we have a God who has vouchsafed us. We've been given eternal life, and it's indestructible, and it's being safeguarded for us in heaven, and we're waiting to be clothed upon with righteousness. That is, we're waiting to be clothed upon with our immortal bodies, which are indestructible and will not be taken away from you. That's a promise. It doesn't matter what happens. So what if our economy falls apart? And I shouldn't go on this tangent, but I just want to give you one tangent thing. James 1, verse 10 and 11. James 1, verse 10 and 11. "And the rich in his humiliation, let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation." Verse 9. Verse 10, James 1. "And the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits." While Elon Musk is launching another satellite, while Donald Trump is building another tower, while anybody, the owners of Vanguard, are building or pursuing or spinning off whatever enterprise that they've got on their heart, while in the pursuit of that, the rich man also will die. When this life ends, and if it ends tragically, if our economy just goes into shambles and we become destitute and angry and at each other and killings happen and the world ends as we know it, we have a home. Check your passport. This is not your home. This earth is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Now, that was a huge sidebar and ill-advisable to go on, but that just really felt good. So I'll get back to what I'm supposed to be doing here. So this false teacher, let's just continue down the passage in 2 Peter chapter 2. They secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them. Now they're claiming they have a master who bought them. There are false teachers that are not aware that they're teaching falsely, but then there are those that are that aren't saved, and on purpose they're infiltrating, and they're claiming, one thing they claim of themselves is that they've been bought by this master. And down in verse 20, it says, For if after they have escaped the defilements of this world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. It's still talking about the false teacher. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. Let me read you some verses about the false teacher that's not saved. In 1 John 2, 3, verse 3, verse 4, and 19. And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. They went out, verse 19, 1 John chapter 2, they went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. In other words, this false teacher may not be saved, but they're teaching even the right doctrines at times. They're coy in their delivery. Many of them aren't saved, and the evidence that they aren't is they go out and they don't come back. We don't know. The wheat grow up with the tares. The wheat grow up with the tares. But we can identify these false teachers by what they want to do. So they want to deploy destructive heresies, teachings, and they have reckless sensuality as kind of an aura of how they present themselves. And the way of truth is blasphemed because of their licentious behaviors. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. They will be judged. But you can learn what a false teacher is by then looking for characteristics. They don't love the truth. They want certain things. They try to entice you because they are in their flesh. What you're going to get from them, what you're going to be inspired to do is be like them. But one of the things that we were trained to do when I was in banking was we would study dollar bills, $5, $10 bills, $20 bills, 50s and 100s. And we would study what a good copy looks like. We would look at what an authentic bill looks like. And we would, in other words, not look for mistakes, but we were required periodically to study the bills back and front and look for all of the details on that bill or that should be on that bill, so that when a counterfeit was presented, we would readily identify it. So I want to spend the bulk of our time, the rest of the time here, looking at what the false teacher doesn't want. What does the false teacher not want? If you turn to Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes are there. The discriminatory spiritual aspects Matthew 5, verse 2. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And this verse was very important to me when I was a teenager. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And that's really the heart and soul of Christianity. Notice that the person who's the false teacher is insatiable for sin. And because they're insatiable, they're never satisfied. But Jesus is saying, blessed are you that hunger and thirst for righteousness. You want to be all I want you to be. You want to be knit to me. You want to be joined at the hip to me. You want to be pliable in my hands. You want to be just like me. And you will, if you have that kind of ardent desire, be filled. So just the opposite of what the false teacher has. The false teacher thinks that he's going to create freedom for himself by conniving and beguiling. But what he ends up with is bondage for himself and teaching bondage to others. So by what he desires, he separates himself and he's full, the righteous person. So if I don't see that in the false teacher, if I don't see a hunger for righteousness, if I don't see a person, in other words, who desires to be like his Jesus, that's a sign, that's a flag for me. Jesus said in John 7:37, on the last day of the feast, the great day, he stood and cried out, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He says, you know, come to me, all you who are heavy laden and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Come to me and drink. Rest. It's not an arduous task I set you to. Following me is hard, but it's not arduous. My yoke is easy. It is a yoke, and my burden is light. Come to me. In Psalm 42:2, it says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Who shall come? When shall I come before God? When can I be before you, Lord? I hunger for you. I thirst for you. Like the other scripture in Psalm says, as the deer panteth after the water of the river brook, so my soul longs for you. If you don't see that in the teacher, the false teacher, it's a sign that they are a false teacher. And even if they're not, they're dead, you need to leave. So if you think I'm dead, you better leave. I want to end on something back in 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 2, verse 1. So put away all malice. So he just got through saying you're born again with this precious seed. It's imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. And your life is short. It's like grass that'll fail. Then he says, verse 1, 1 Peter chapter 2, so put away all malice, that is intent to do evil. Malice is intent to do evil. So if somebody kills someone and they have malice aforethought, that is a designed to bodily injure or kill that person. But this is intent to do evil. Put away intent. Deceit, that's a decoy or becoming someone that you're not. Put deceit away. Hypocrisy. To decide to speak or act under a false part. To dissemble. In other words, you're concealing your true motives, feelings, and beliefs. You're dissembling. Put that away. And then it says, verse 2, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. What God knows is if you don't put away sinful things, if there are sinful things in your life, it will spoil your appetite. Have you ever been around the kitchen and your mother said, don't eat that candy bar or that cookie, it'll spoil your appetite? I always said to myself, I was afraid to say it out loud, no, it won't. I can eat this Butterfinger and two of those hamburgers. But what I have noticed is some of you know I have an omelet in here three or four times a week. I work out. Sometimes and I don't look like I did recently, but have the omelet sometimes around two and then or three, and then I'll go to dinner with my wife or have dinner with her at six or seven, and the food is not quite what it could be if I was hungry. I don't really need it. You know what I mean? This is what happens when I have been dalliancing with sin. In other words, when I have not been doing my spiritual gardening, and I've had some thoughts that I've allowed to linger, or some things on my mind, or I've maybe even done something, I don't know. But when I am not being following the straight stick of truth, D.L. Moody's stick of truth, but I'm kind of fuzzy, and I've got loose thinking. When I'm in that frame of mind, guess what I don't want? I don't want God's word. My hunger for God's word ebbs away because I am full of the husks of this world. All of what I described there, the malice, the deceit, the hypocrisy, are the husks of this world. And while I'm dining on that, I'm spoiling my appetite for the word of God. And so that's why he points that out and then says that you should desire, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. The false teacher cannot nourish you spiritually. You will be malnutritioned by the false teacher. And that's why he says it's only the pure milk. Remember when we had the formula shortage? During the pandemic, there was some hoarding going on, and then it got exacerbated by four babies that had bacterial infections, and so they shut down the biggest plant in Michigan, the plant that made most of the formula. And all these ladies were just beside themselves because they had children who could only drink a certain kind of formula, remember? And they needed that pure formula so the child could live. God knows we need the pure word to become who he wants us to be, and the hunger for it should be just as strong. The need for it is just as necessary. So Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you've given us the straight stick of truth, your word to compare words with. But you also gave us behaviors to watch for. Help us, Father, to be discerning. Help us to test the spirits, not be blown around by every wind of doctrine that comes along, but help us to use these tools that the Apostle Peter gave us and John to discern the right path, and help us to cling to that path and walk down it. In Jesus' name, amen.